Hello and welcome to the final episode of the Mighty Oaks podcast for season 23-24. I'm joined by some very special guests tonight, but before we get to them, I want to once again thank the sponsor of the podcast across the season, Ray White Oakley, a proud sponsor of the Oakley Cricket Club and now the podcast. So thank you, Ray White. I also want to remind you guys and thank you for listening across the season. Keep liking on YouTube, keep subscribing, keep listening on Spotify and sharing it around, because today we got a pretty awesome and exciting episode. As you will know, if you're part of the OCC family, we had two senior teams in grand finals a week and a half ago, our third 11 and our fourth 11. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can probably tell by the giant blue triangle draped across the front of the table that we did have one of those teams win the grand final. It was our third 11, and I'm joined by a couple of stars from the third 11. I'll start with you, Skipper, Premiership Captain Anthony Howes. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
How does it feel to be a Premiership Captain in the third 11?
Feels pretty good. Obviously, great season, so to make sure that an Oakley team won a Premiership at the end of it is a huge honour, being captain, and you know, something that I'm going to be able to look back on if it never happens again. But
yeah,
I am now a Premiership Captain at Oakley, and
absolutely
will always be. So
No one can take it away. And I'm also joined on the end by one of the stars of the grand final, taking FIFA, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Manny Kinga, welcome to the Mighty Oaks podcast and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's an absolute pleasure to be part of it. Been listening it throughout the year, and credit goes to you and Matt and everybody else being part of it. So thank you.
Thank you and well done. So before we get into running through the actual game, the actual third 11 grand final, I just want to forward sell a little bit what we got coming up. We're obviously going to talk extensively about the third 11 grand final and celebrate their premiership. I'll have some footage rolling through the YouTube clip as well of the boys getting their medals, the team song after the game, some of the celebrations. But we also will talk about and acknowledge our fourth 11, who also played in the grand final, but unfortunately did not win, but should still be very proud of their season to make a grand final in Division 1. So we'll talk about that match. And later on in the podcast, I have a very exciting announcement. If you're tuning in to find out the OCC Senior Team of the Year, at the end of the podcast, we're going to go through the 12 men that have made the Senior Team of the Year, which no one knows except me in this room. So that'll be exciting, boys. So we'll come back to that. All right, let's talk about the grand final. And as a couple of weekends ago, it was here at Warrawee against Caulfield. You guys finished top of the ladder after storming home in the latter half of the home and away season. First of all, let's talk about the toss. This is grand final only, this episode. If you want to find out the semi-final, you actually listen to our previous episode, Finals Edition. Yeah, let's talk about the toss. So who won the toss and what were you planning to do?
So for those that do know, obviously in the semi-final against Croydon, I did win the toss and bowl on an absolute road. And I guess walking over to do the toss in the grand final, I thought if I win the toss and bowl there, I could probably win the toss and bowl anywhere. So the fact that it had happened before, I backed in our bowlers. It's obviously a bit more of a tricky wicket than Croydon. I've played a lot of cricket here, so I know it's bowler friendly.
That is true.
If you bowl with the right conditions and the right bowlers. So it was in my mind to bowl first. Luckily, Earl won the toss from Caulfield and decided to bowl instead, which took a lot of pressure off me, because obviously bowling first, bit of an unknown.
Good toss to lose, and we reminded
about him for the next 48 hours. It was a good toss to win and a good toss for me to lose. So I was probably going to bowl. I know Rhodesy would have come hunting me down.
Yep.
A few sleepless nights during the week for the decision the week before, but I back our bowlers in. They've done a job all year, and I would have backed them in again. So,
all right. Well, fair enough. As it happens, he lost the toss and we
batted first.
Luckily, we got one of our opening batsmen sitting at the table here. Manny, you open with Dimesh.
Yes.
Talk to us about your opening partnership, what you guys were thinking about out there, because you batted for quite a while together.
Yes. So I was actually told on Thursday that I'm going to be opening because normally been opening twos and then mainly been doing it one days as
true.
Well.
True, you hadn't opened for probably half a year.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. But mainly I've done it in one days, then 2 days. And Thursday's aunt said to me, you're opening. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, that's what I've done for the whole year. Going into toss. Yeah, look, the wicket was quite hard. And from ball one, it was really coming nice on the bat. And something me and Damesh talked about it from last weekend that like we lost quite a few wickets the week before. So let's not do that this week.
Mm-hmm.
Drag the game a bit longer, have wickets in hand so then we can go all out because we've got batsmen batting till 12th, even I was told, you know, in semi-final and final. So we just took our time and we just, you know, there was balls over there which we could have hit, but I know we batted a bit slow. We were talking about it as well till drinks. I think we were like on 25 odd after like 23 overs. But we know we had batting till the later hook, which can help us accelerate as well. And I was feeling quite good as well. Was a little bit nervous. It was my first grand final as well. I've never played grand final, you know, coming to from Malvern and Brunswick and other ones. I've always lost a semi-final a couple of times against Oakley. So it was my first one. And I was a little bit nervous, but just as bat opening the batting a bit, but not for grand final. So that took the pressure off me. And the mesh, and we just stayed there till there, I think till 25th over, and then I got out. I was just tried to accelerate a bit, but I was looking good and was looking for big, but unfortunately got out to an okay ball as well. So yeah. Not gonna complain.
Well, you two definitely, they say the openers are there to take the shine off the new ball, and you two, fair to say you two did that. Manny, you ended up 24 off 94 balls and Damesh got 12 off 103.
Yes.
So really knuckled down at the top there, you two.
Yeah, I know. Look, we were slow and it kind of like when Caulfield batted as well, they just lost quick wickets and then he straight away on pressure.
Yeah.
We learned that in semi-finals. So we thought, let's just keep our shots out a bit and just...
Yeah.
And there was, I think the captain just kept bowling throughout the day as well. So he was tired.
Yeah.
So that was the whole point of it as well.
Yeah, and exactly. So there's certainly nothing wrong with that plan, especially if it comes off and you can accelerate later in the innings, which is what happened for the Oaks that day. So as I mentioned, they were the two openers that scored. Who we have at three? Was it Rhodesy? Rhodesy at three got 17. Rayan at four got 7. And we fell to a point where we were 4 for 70 at around about the 50th
at
over.
T, we lost a bit on T.
At T. And then it was this massive partnership that really won the game for us. Yushi and Dion came together at 4 for 70 and put on 160 runs, unbroken partnership to get the total score to 4 for 230. Ayush, we're going to speak to soon, but unbelievably, he scored his second 100 in as many games, ended 105 not out of 131 balls, 8 fours and 3 sixes. A couple of those sixes sailed over the heads of the crowd under the Frog Box on the Saturday night, which was I was a part of, and that was very exciting. And we also got to give a massive shout out and a lot of credit to Dion De Silva, who was dropped from the threes for the semi-final, went and made 100, which we talked about in the previous episode, earned his spot back for the grand final and batted beautifully with Yush and got 55 not out off 84 balls and was part of this match-winning 160-run unbroken partnership. And I believe you were next in for that whole time. Is that right?
Yeah,
bit of pad rash.
Padded up for 40 overs. What turned out to be a bit of a thanks for coming for me as the captain. Didn't get to bat. Didn't get to bowl. So all the boys
took a catch.
All the boys let me know about
that.
Took
a catch
throughout the day.
That counts. You took a catch.
Yeah, it took a catch.
I'm just wondering when it was 4 for 70 at T. How are you feeling?
I guess same as Manny. I think we, from the position we were last week, we obviously learned a few things that. As long as we bat the 80 overs, we've got batsmen in the shed. So the team was pretty stacked with batting, to be fair. You know, in the end, you know, four of our better bats didn't even bat in the grand final, and we still made 230. So, I guess as long as someone was set and someone was in there, I always had a thought that we could make close to 200. Obviously, the message to Yush and Dan was just work on the next partnership. Try and get the total to over 160. And then when we got to 160, let's try and get to 200. Then we got to 200.
They
so
really,
why not accelerate and make 230?
They heard that message, didn't they? They nailed it.
Yeah, they batted beautifully, paced the game, kept their wickets in hand. And then eventually, you know, their opening bowler ran out of gas, started cramping. They had to go to a fourth and fifth option that hadn't bowled all day, and you know, the rest is history. I think he ended up scoring 100 runs off the last, you know, eight overs. Something like that.
So I was scoring actually. We were 140 until 71st over.
Yeah.
And then we went 90 in nine
overs. 90
in
nine overs.
And beautiful. Yushi was just made 50 in 71st over at 100 balls.
Yeah, I remember yelling out, double it.
Yeah.
And he did.
And then he made...
So was he 50 off 100?
50 yep. off 100 in 71st over. And then he made 50 off 28 balls.
Wow.
And then similar with
you
Dion.
You hear this, Yush? You're coming on next. Get ready.
And similar with Dion. He was like on 25 of like 50, 60 balls. And then suddenly next 30 came in like very 20, 30 balls.
30 off 25
like,
yeah. balls or something.
Yeah. And credit to them for doing that as well.
The most amazing stat from one of their bowlers, and sorry to do this to you, Liam Giuliano from Caulfield, bowled first change. His first spell was 7 overs, 7 maidens, none for none. He ended the day with 14 overs, none for 52, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, just kept bowling the ball right in the middle of our boys' bats. And... I've never seen a more contrasting start of the day to the end of the day. But thanks a lot. Well bowled. And commiserations.
Thank you for coming.
All right. Let's move on to day two. We'll talk more about the batting innings when Yush comes on. But day two. So we're defending 230. Day two is a Sunday here. A lot of the ones and twos boys have the marquee set up on the hill, have the speaker out with some songs ready to play. How are you guys feeling going in? I'm assuming with 230 on the board, you were feeling pretty confident?
Yeah, I was feeling pretty confident, you know, even Saturday night.
It's a great position to be in.
Great position to be, but you've just got to try and remind the team that it's only half the job's done. So
yep.
I think the hard part being captain is trying to keep a lid on it. Obviously, anything over 150, I'd back us in to defend. You know, we've...
Big ground
in
as well.
The last eight games we played, I think 7 of them we bowled team out for under 100, so just shows the strength of our bowling. And I was going to back us in regardless of the total, and yeah, obviously having 230 on the board, second highest score we made all season, I was pretty confident.
It's a good time to pull it out.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've got Ben Salmon, the opening bowler, coming on a little bit later here, so we might talk about the new ball bowling later. But Manny, let's talk about your bowling while we're here, because if you look at the stats, Caulfield ended up being all out for 100, and you've taken 5 for 33 off 17 overs.
Bit expensive.
Yeah.
It's
That's what Andrew said.
Not
yep.
really, but well bowled.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you remember what the score was when you came on to bowl?
I think they were similar, about like 25 of 25 overs, and they lost 2 wickets or something. But they had 2 batsmen... were like looking decent, trying to score, and again similar thing.
And it was one of their openers was really just battening down the hatches, wasn't he?
Knuckled down.
Yeah, I think he was not playing short anything.
Three.
Yeah, number three, not playing short anything for 4th to 5th stump line, just playing on their pads and stumps as well.
So were you trying to just restrict runs? Were you thinking about wickets, or were you just coming on trying to restrict runs?
I just wanted to bowl at the spot from ball one. And I just wanted to do well and, you know, take wickets. I know leading up to the finals, I haven't bowled many overs in 2 days. But every time I bowled, I felt pretty good. And I didn't have many wickets this year as well, because didn't bowl that many overs until semi-final as well. But I always knew I could bowl well. And I just wanted to bowl in this stumps and get the wickets, because I know chasing big score grand final is always pressure, so
it's
I knew they will do mistakes, and then it just kicked off with the first LBW, and then it just didn't stop until I took 4 wickets and said, let me give other guys a go as well, like Fateh and other ones.
And
I'm
you
like,
said, I'm on 4 wickets. Don't
yeah,
take
so me I'm, well, I actually
basically begged me.
Yes, I did. I did not gonna deny, because I also said, like, I don't know if I'll be playing again or not. So this is my opportunity to take Pfeiffer and Oakley. Yeah. So, and best time to do it, you know, in grand final.
And did you take the last wicket?
Yes, I did. Yeah, the said batsman, the number 3 one.
Oh, very nice. So by that point, so they're chasing 230 all out for 100. So we did get to a point where we knew we were going to win.
Yeah.
But How did it feel to take that last wicket? The question for both of you, Manny, you can go first, but how did it feel getting that last wicket, cementing that premiership and then celebrating with the boys?
Look, it's probably one of the best feeling playing, you know, Swabbies cricket and part of Oakley as well. And that's one of the reason I moved to Oakley, that I wanted to feel the winning grand final feeling, never had before. And then be the one at the taking the last wicket of said batsman.
Yeah.
That was pretty good as well. And I saw my brother doing it last year, winning the flag with the team in threes as well. So I just wanted to do the same thing, but taking a fifer, you know, probably the best figure in the whole season I had. So why not?
Yeah. What did your brother get in the grand final last year?
I didn't think so. He got any wickets. He only bought like 3 or 4 overs.
So you've got that over him.
Yes,
as well.
Yeah, I did. But he got the, you know, grand final before me. So yeah, absolutely.
And how did it feel for you when you got that last wicket?
Yeah, it was a bit of a strange one. Obviously, I think I've played in, lucky enough to play in 5 or 6 premiership teams at Oakley to this point. And I think in all of them, there was a lot of unknown for the whole day. But as you said, when it looked like we were on top and we weren't going to, you know, give that momentum back to them, you know, you're kind of celebrating out there on every wicket. You know that.
So you were enjoying it.
You were enjoying it. Yeah, you knew that it's almost an inevitable, you know, conclusion, but you've still got to try and stay grounded. As
you never know.
You don't want to, you know, have egg on your face or anything, but you know, it was really, really fun out there. And you know, my job at the end there was to just try and make sure that everyone's grand final day was successful, that they have something to look back on, you know, and celebrate being a part of the team, doing something in the team. Unfortunately, Manny didn't let anyone else have the opportunity, but he did deserve those wickets, I think. So bowled the house down. Probably didn't get the rewards in the semi-final that he should have. I think he ended up with 1 wicket.
1 wicket, yeah.
Semi-final, but probably our best bowler in the semi-final. Just didn't get the reward for it. So, you know, all the pace bowlers did their job early in the innings. Bowled that 4/5 stump line, created the pressure. So then I knew eventually they're going to have to go for it. And if we bowl a spinner that's, you know, still moving the ball, you're going to get...
Brings all the onus on the batsman to try
have to
and
go
make
for it eventually.
Happen.
Otherwise, you know, you bat it out and finish 2 for 80 off 80 overs. I don't think so. I think they were going to go for it. They eventually did. And, you know, our field was set up. Manny bowled beautifully and got the rewards. So, yeah, it was, I reckon at about 7 down, I started celebrating, which is, I can say it now because we won.
Yeah.
But at about 7 down, I was, you know, going off to Sagar every couple of overs, you know, not far away from a premiership.
So the, probably one of the last decisions you had to make was whether to give yourself a bowl, whether to take Manny off, was it, and give yourself a bowl?
The plan was to come on the over after. Obviously, I injured my shoulder and haven't been able to bowl for the last month. So just to kind of, you know, quieten the noise about thanks for coming, thought I'd try and bowl. I would have probably only bowled 2 or 3 balls before breaking down, and Dan would have, you know, got to finish that over. So, you know, he's a bit salty at Manny as well because Manny's cost him 3 balls.
I thought you were going to give it to Rodri last week.
Nah, Dion. So, yeah, I was thinking about bowling, but, you know, at the end of the day, I didn't have to. You know, I had faith in my team. Obviously, semi-final, grand final, the bowlers had done majority of the work. So, for, you know, Manny and Salmon and Max to reap the benefits of taking some wickets, I think they well and truly earned it. And, you know, they can look back at their grand final experience and be pretty happy about their performances. So,
yeah,
I'm kind of glad.
Absolutely.
I didn't bowl in the end. Who knows what happened?
It's a great result for you with the injury. You took a catch, so it's technically not a thanks for coming.
Yeah, I feel bad
and
for
you're the premiership captain.
Sagar didn't take a catch, didn't make a run.
Can a keeper,
couple of buys.
Can a keeper get a thanks for coming?
Leave that in the comments. Can a keeper get a thanks for coming?
But
zero catches.
He was saying to me that the last ball, the wicket I took, the batsman was out of the crease.
Yeah, you robbed him
of the stumping. And that's probably the only time I'll hit the stumps and it actually hit. So it was good as well. But now credit to like other bowlers who were bowling around me as well and at the start as well, just help his overall team to you know, achieve the grand final feeling.
It's actually a good point while we're here. We'll talk about it with Salmon, but you took 5 for 33 off your 17. Max Getley 2 for 16 off 9. Ben Salmon 2 for 19 off 12. And Aaron Lund 1 for 12 off 10. So everyone was keeping it tight. Everyone was doing the job. Everyone came through for that all out for 100 and that win. Anyway, thank you guys. We might take a quick break here from our sponsor, Ray White, and we'll come back with some more Premiership Heroes on the Mighty Oaks podcast. We'll see you soon. Hey OCC community, my name's Matt and you're listening to the Mighty Oaks podcast. Support us by following us on YouTube or checking out our socials. Welcome back to the Mighty Oaks podcast. It's the grand final edition and I'm here with a couple of absolute superstars from our third 11 premiership team. Welcome boys. I'm going to start with you, Ben. Welcome. Give us a general feeling. Congrats on winning the flag. How's it feel a week and a half later?
Still pretty surreal to win my third flag for Oakley.
In how many years?
In 5 years.
Handy.
5 years, I think. Yeah. That's pretty good. And played in four grand finals. So it's been a pretty good run. And I've enjoyed it just as much as the others. So yeah, it's been good.
Awesome. And the man of the match, the Allen Stamps medal winner, Yush, welcome back to the podcast. You've been on last week after you scored 100. Were you not out? 100 out. 100 not out in the semi-final and another 100 not out in the grand final. Congratulations.
Thank you, Miles. Thank
another you won the premiership last year, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
So well done again. But the Allen Stamps medal, how are you feeling a week and a half after those heroics?
I'm still recovering, to be honest.
Yep. From the game or from the post-match?
From, I'd say, the post-match thing.
Fair enough.
It was a big, good bender, I'd say. But yeah, good to be back.
Nice,
on
man.
The podcast.
All right, well done. So, boys, we're going to run through the game again and get your perspectives on it. So, as we mentioned before, we batted first on day one. First of all, were you pretty happy that we were batting first?
Honestly, it doesn't really faze me. I just go in with the same mentality to win the game, regardless of what we're doing. But always runs on the board to start is always a bit more comfortable in a final. But, yeah, I'm happy to go either way.
100%. Like, why are we playing our home ground? We know our strength. And any day I'll back my captain for whatever toss because it's like a 50-50 chance. So
nice. Well, Ants obviously got you both trained well because they were both two very good answers. So I hope you're happy with that, yeah. Ant. But let's talk about the batting inning. So we won't go through the start. But Yush, you came in at number 6. Score is 4 for 70. I'm assuming you were feeling in good touch with the bat after scoring 100 the week before. How did you feel at 4 for 70? What was the initial focus of your innings? Were you trying to counter-attack? Were you trying to just absorb some pressure? How did it play out?
Like, coming back from semifinals where I scored a ton, I was confident with the bat, but at the same time, I was also nervous because we were 4 down for 70 and there was like 40 overs in. We were like 36 or 40 overs in.
Yeah, it would have been about that. Yep.
So yeah, that means like we were batted like half of the day. I knew that the tee is around the corner. So me and Ryan, Ray, our plan was to play till tee and take the score off after tee. But it was unlucky for Ray to get out on the last ball of the tee. After tee, me and Dion were just planning to play till 70 overs. Score about like 3 to 4 and over and take it off because we all knew that we have shots in I could play shots and Dion can play shots and we can score after 70 because after tee like the bowling team is tired and there's given that Werribee is a really big ground there's heaps of runs around
it's true
it's hard to score boundaries so we knew that we both are very fit so we can run between the wickets. And that's what we did. So we stuck to the plan and touch wood, everything happened good.
It's a great point because you two are both quick between the wickets and your running in the last 10 overs was just as good as your hitting.
Oh yeah.
It is pretty hard to hit boundaries. You only hit 8 fours and 3 sixes. So it's not that many.
But no, our running between the wickets, I've never had so much fun batting with someone,
nice.
Especially, I'll give a shout out to Dion as well. He was I could see he was trying really hard to run between the wickets with me. Every run we ran, we just ran it out. We have to run it because it's the grand finals. We knew that after these two, these are the last few overs that we're going to play for the season and we're going to give it everything we have.
Yeah.
That was our plan and we stuck to it.
Absolutely. And just bring the mic in a little bit closer to yourself there, Yush. And I want to ask, did the fact that those last 10 overs, so you, the plan you just mentioned, you executed perfectly because as we mentioned before, the last 9 overs, we scored 90 runs. Did it help having a group of 20 blokes who were a couple of beers deep cheering on every single run. Did that help you run through the wickets and help you get through?
I love the blokes because when I was batting, the captain of the opposition team was talking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Every boundary I hit, he used to turn back and talk shit to me. But support from the stand always gives you like a heads up, because it's like, it's not you two, because it's just two batsmen versus 11 players.
Yeah.
But you also know that you have players around you, the team shouting for you, cheering you up. So it also is like a big motivation to score runs. So every run we ran, after that, after every over, I went to Dion and I was like, I love how we're on the same page, and just look at our mates. They're so happy. Just run for your mates. We need this win for them.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, watching the whole game, that last 10 overs on day one, watching you guys hit those runs was the most exciting part of the match, and we all very much enjoyed it. We could also hear you, Big Benny Salmon from up here, yelling every run. So well done to you. Yeah, you were rallying the troops up in the stand.
I'll do my best.
All right. Well, congratulations again on your ton, mate.
And thank you. Cheers.
We put 230 on the board. Let's move to day two. So Ben Salmon, you had the new rock. You had the first ball of the day entrusted to you. I was on the sidelines filming that first ball.
Yeah.
How did the first ball go?
So the first ball didn't exactly go to plan, and as you'll see, if you're looking at the Oakley Instagram, it was not put on the story, as it sort of got stuck in the hand and pitched at my toes, and lucky it didn't go for a boundary, which could have started their day very well. But Miles had the good idea of not putting it on the Instagram to save me some grief.
Yeah, bumps. Actually, I put the second ball of the day on the Instagram.
I can't put that. Which is a little bit better,
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. And I'm glad the captain didn't see it either, or else I wouldn't have got as long of a spell. So, it was good.
So, on that first ball, did you feel nerves? Were you nervous running in? Was that a possible reason? Because I think both, you open with Max. I think from my point of view, watching both of you first over or two was a little bit not as consistent as we'd like, but you guys both worked into it.
Yeah.
How did it feel from your hand?
A few times this year, just struggle with just getting into it straight away, which is just a bit of a mental thing. But once I felt like once you got in my rhythm a bit, like it started to feel real natural, and then I was actually starting to get through the crease. But the first couple overs was just a bit mental and a bit nervous. So I think that probably was the main reason. But worked out all right.
And it didn't take too long to get the breakthrough.
No, I think in the seventh or eighth over was the first wicket.
Yeah,
and
let's find out. Yeah, 1 for 12, then 2 for 12.
Yeah.
After 6 or 7 overs.
Yeah, so two within two overs. So it was good to get them on the back foot there, and they started pretty well. So it was good to get those two wickets and the two openers and put them on the back foot. So it was good.
Yeah. From your point of view, you came on first change. Do you think the two boys with the new ball bowled well? Or how did you feel when you came on? Were you confident, nervous?
No, it was like a mutual feeling, because the way we started the innings, it was a bit skeptical. But I'm proud of them, how they like came back, recovered, got back to their lines and length, built a proper bowling partnership, and well-deserved big twos for both of them.
So
when I came back on, when I came back for the first change, and handed me the ball, and he was like, just do your thing. And that's what I did. I just bowled tight lines. My main focus was to bowl dots, because as building partnerships is a big thing for cricket.
Yep. Well, and you definitely did that. 9 overs, 5 maidens, none for 11. Your spell.
No, that was my sole focus, because we had a big target on the board.
Yeah.
And I knew that, because we have a good bowling attack, if we can just restrict them to dots, they're gonna build pressure, they're gonna give away shots, and that's what happened.
Absolutely. Every dot ball that you bowl is a step closer to victory for you guys. So absolutely agree with that. We've talked about the end of the game with Manny before coming on and taking his 5.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, you ended with 2 for 19 off your 12, so well done. And your opening partner, Max, 2 for 16 off 9. Shout out Lundy, also got 1 for 12 off his 10. But let's move to post game.
Yep.
So you won the game, as we talked about with Ant. You probably knew a few overs before that it was most likely that you guys were going to win.
Yep.
How were the celebrations?
Well,
how did it feel?
I'll say first off, I made the grave mistake of coming off after my spell, my second spell, because I felt a bit tight and I thought something was about to pop. But then as soon as he stuck in a bit closer to victory, a bit too soon, I knew I wasn't going to get back
on. You stuck on the sidelines.
So I was stuck on the sidelines. And I remember seeing Max Getley fall over and I said, "You're all good, Max. You sure you don't want to come off?" And he pretty much just ignored me. And I was like, oh well. But as soon as the last wicket was taken, I made sure I ran on there pretty quick, as you can see on the frog box and here on the frog box as well. So
yeah, I think here more than see, maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, the celebrations went quite well that night. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yosh?
Yeah, we were still a bit skeptical because they had a set batsman in. But as we got closer to the victory, it was evident that it's gonna win. I couldn't like wait to just like get in there, sing the song,
relax and enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a good feeling afterwards. The post-match medal ceremony went good. Every speech was good. Yeah, motivational.
Let's talk about the medal ceremony quickly, because you did win the best of field, the Allan Stamps medal, mm-hmm. which is obviously a famous and very cherished award here mm-hmm. at Oakley Career Club, named after our own Al Stamps.
Mm-hmm.
You're the third Oak to win it after Matthew Stamps and mm-hmm. Tom Ison.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations for joining a very exclusive club.
Thank you.
Just tell me about how it felt to win that. Were you really happy? Were you just happy about the team winning? How did you feel?
A huge privilege to win that medal, because when we won the flag last year for the twos, I saw Leito got the Allan Stamps. I was like, wow, that's kind of cool, because it says like Allan Stamps medal, match winner and like man of the match. Nice. So I was like, wow, I need that one day.
Yeah.
But yeah, jokes apart, like, It was a privilege to grab the medals, and the clinking afterwards. Just the boys never left a chance to like boast me about it. Like, oh, we can hear the clinks. But yeah, nice.
Must be a pretty good feeling. No, clinking around the winning change rooms.
Yeah.
But congratulations again, mate. Well done. Well done to both of you.
Thank you.
Before we go to our next break, maybe just throw to either of you if there's anything extra that I've missed that you think's worth a mention, or anything, the highlight of the celebrations that night, or anything about it. Ben, you got anything?
Highlight of the celebration, I'll leave it to Ben.
Yeah.
Because I think he was the man of the highlight.
He was best on after, was he?
Yeah. There may be a few things you can't repeat on online, but I made sure I watched the flag after the game and
thank you so
got it nice and clean, because it's going to be up on the roof for the next 100 years.
This beautiful flag we have in front of us,
freshly washed.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a few good celebrations from everyone. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed and well deserved by a great team, and I was quite glad to. It was a bit bittersweet ending up in the team in the end. Obviously, want to play as high as possible, but it was really fun coming into the team, and they welcomed me with open arms, and I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed my last few weeks of the year, and it ended quite well. So
100%. I'll just like to say a thank you to all the boys that came on, made our celebrations more cherishable. Throughout the night, there were like boys coming in, coming out, having a beer with us, talking. So yeah, that was. It's good to see that Oakley culture is growing, with everyone like supporting, even if they didn't play. On the hill, in the stands, is cheering. So it also feels good at the end that you did something.
That's one last thing I'll say is the support on the hill, mainly on Sunday, was incredible.
I actually wanted to ask, could you hear the speaker? Could you hear the music?
Yeah, we heard the speaker. So a few of us got up. I think almost all the bowlers got asked their walkout songs, which I think throughout the day the boys forgot to play as they are. Yeah, started getting slightly more intoxicated.
Shout out Latho for doing that, and I think he did it for the first couple of bowlers. But
what did your song happen to be? Momentum. What was your song?
Mine was J. Cole's song. I keep forgetting the name.
That one. Like,
a J. Cole song. Yeah. Mine was Cult of Personality by Living Colour. So CM Punk, if you don't know that.
I was sitting right next to the speaker for that one.
So that was I felt pretty pumped up, and clearly it pumped me enough to bowl a ball at about 60 k's an hour, but yeah.
All right, boys. Well, thanks for jumping on the Mighty Oaks podcast. Ben, you might hang around and join me after the break. But we'll go to a quick break. We'll hear from our sponsor. We'll come back. We'll talk about the 4th-11 grand final. And we'll also find out the team of the year. See you soon.
The Mighty Oaks podcast is proudly presented by Ray White Oakley. Ray White is there to help with all your real estate needs, including buying, renting, or selling your home. Go and see Jonathan Eaves at Ray White Oakley and tell him the Mighty Oaks podcast sent you.
Welcome back again to the Mighty Oaks podcast. Thanks again to Ray White. And for our next segment, I'm joined by two of the 4th-11 lads who played in the grand final, Harry D and Taran. Welcome, boys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming on. So I know it's not the easiest thing to do after you play in the grand final and unfortunately didn't get the win. But I wanted to go through the game because I still think, I mean, obviously, you guys had a great season. You finished second on the ladder. You made a grand final in Division 1, let's not forget. But unfortunately, went down. So we'll have a quick talk about the game. You're playing Mount Waverley at Mount Waverley. I'm assuming Mount Waverley won the toss?
Yes.
And they chose to bat?
Yeah.
And they ended up posting 7 for 235. It's lucky we have you two guys here with us, actually, the Spin Twins. You guys bowled a bulk of the overs. Taran, you bowled 26. Harry, you bowled 24.
Yeah.
Harry, let's start with you. How did the game start off? How did it feel? And whenabouts did you come into the attack?
So I thought we started off pretty well. Sam Iverson got a early wicket. He bowled quite well, actually. He had a bit of a sore back, but he bowled quite well. And then they sort of got a couple little partnerships going on. I sort of came on in the 25th. What was that? Bowled 24 straight, so whatever that math is.
It was, yeah, probably a bit earlier.
Yeah. We bowled okay. Bowling and fielding was not our best performance that we had, obviously. 235 is a decent score. You're going to be happy with that. So we're just okay.
Yep.
Is how I'd describe it, yeah.
It looked like I was down there for a bit on that day. It looked like a pretty good wicket for batting. A nice, flat, relatively small outfield. So a good place to bat,
yeah.
Looked like.
It was, good conditions to bat in. And then, they took advantage. And, grand finals are never going to be easy.
No.
They're always tough, so. And fair play to them. They batted quite well, so.
Yeah. And they've got some seriously experienced guys down there. I recognise the guy playing in Mount Waverley Fours who I played against in the Fours 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was old then. So they got some fair talent down there. Taran, let's talk to you, mate, because you were the pick of the bowlers, and well done to you. You took four for 67 off 26.
Yep.
Now let's talk about your bowling. How did it feel coming out? And are you proud of the way you bowled?
I think on the day, obviously pressure played a big part, because obviously as one of the spinners, you'll get the bunch of the workload to do.
Hmm.
And then first 10 overs I bowled, I couldn't get a wicket. So I was like, where should I improve on, and then what more should I do differently? And then we had tea, and then I had a speak with my captain, and then I was trying something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go more fuller and more quicker through the air, and then that helped me better in the second spell. So I got 4 wickets, so 2 before one drinks break, and we had one more, and then another one after the drinks break. So it was pretty much had to bring the game back after. Yeah
Nice. And Harry, you got one yourself. How do you feel your spell went? It was a long spell for you both. How were you? You got through all right, and how about you? Talk through your one wicket.
Yeah, so it was different for me. I think the semi-final was the longest I've ever bowled in a game, and that was 13 overs. So to pretty much double it.
And
was,
then you bowled 24, yeah.
Yeah, to pretty much double it was a new challenge, which I really enjoyed. Yeah, I like to be involved in the game as much as I can.
Hmm.
But yeah, I thought I didn't get a wicket until probably my 22nd over, towards the end, so it was a long grind. I felt I was able to keep it tight for most of it, and then they sort of put on 60 in the last 10 overs.
It was a good partnership.
Which is going to happen. End of a long day. So credit to them, they batted quite well. But I thought me and Taran, we kept it tight for most of the day.
Yeah.
So still didn't bowl. Probably the best we haven't bowled all season, but it was all right.
Yeah, the game kind of slipped away at the last 10 overs where they were like kind of slogging it. And we couldn't do much in the field as well, because we both were tired, because 26 overs, especially for spinners.
4 overs.
And I think last few overs, if we could cut off like
two more wickets and then like put a hold on the run floor, we would have been in the game. But yeah, it's cricket.
Yeah, and so before we move on to day two, Taran, I want to ask you. Yeah. Last week we talked on the podcast about your unusual skill of being able to bowl with both hands or both arms. Did you try that? 20 overs in, did you think maybe I'll try bowling the other hand? Or?
Yeah, because when the left hander was facing me up, I was like, should I switch to my left arm? And I was like, no, it's a grand final. And then
probably a risky time to bring exactly. that. Have you ever done it in a match, bowled both arms?
I think I played a friendly game against Pegs versus Deakin's University, and I bowled one over with my right arm, and I said, look, can I try one with my left? And the first ball I bowled landed off the pitch, and I was like, I should probably stop doing this.
Yeah, probably they're probably writing you off at that point. Like, this bloke can't do
but
it.
But I bowled the five next balls pretty good, so I was happy thinking that I finally done it in a game.
Okay, nice. Yeah, it's a great skill to have. Keep working on it. Maybe we'll see it in next future season. Years. Let's move on to day two. So we were chasing 236 to win. We ended up being all out for 138, and it was a pretty tough grind by the sounds of it. Tough to score, a bit of slow going. Harry, you opened up the batting, didn't you?
Yep.
Do you want to talk us, just give us a brief rundown of how you felt out there and how the day went?
Yeah, coming in chasing 236 to win, it's a big score, but it's definitely achievable. It's under three and over, so I just knew if we were able to build some partnerships and bat the whole 80 overs, I knew we were in with a red hot chance. Obviously, yeah, myself and KP opened up. We started okay, like we only put on sort of 15 or 20, and then just didn't really get going, and then sort of after that the scoring slowed up a little bit. Their spinners bowled quite well. You would have seen in their economy rates they were very tight, and we just didn't really get much momentum.
I'm assuming this was one of the spinners, one of their bowls. 19 overs, 12 maidens, 2 for 13.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he was very tough to get away.
That was an off spinner, right? Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll look through the scorecard. Yeah, as you said, no one really could get going. We had Archer Johnson with the top score, 52 not out of 137 balls. But, fair to say, much like the twos the week before, chasing a similar total, probably left too much to do late. Yeah. Didn't we? It was too tough to score, and it made it hard for the low order to come in. But thank you for coming on, guys. It was great to have you, and I think definitely still a season to be proud of.
Yeah. And also second. For the young kids to play in a grand final, I think that experience means a lot in their careers. Like, and then especially for Archer, and then players like Joel who bowl well. So
a lot of youngsters in the team. You're exactly. right. Yeah. So well done to those guys. Well done to Craig Johnson, the skipper, for the season. Overall, I've just got a few stats here, including finals and everything, 10 wins and 4 losses on the year. Pretty good record.
And I think we came into finals in really good form. I think most of our losses were early in the season, so we came in, looking to give it a red hot crack.
And the semi-final, we lost to Endeavour Hills a game before that, but we bounced back.
Semi-final was one of the great wins from you guys, so well done on that. Just before we wrap up, I just wanted to sort of sum up the four season. I've got a couple of stats here. The top run scorers for the season, number one, Ryan Chappell, 314 runs at an average of a tick under 45. Raf Parton, young gun, who's done a great job, scored 253 runs at an average of 23. And the old head, Andrew Donoghue, 245 runs at 49. And then the top wicket takers, Joel Ajani, another one of the youngsters, 16 wickets at 14.65. The skipper, Craig Johnson, 16 wickets at 17. And Taran, sitting right there, you actually, with that four for, ended up taking the third most wickets in the fours for the year, 14 wickets at 17.9. So well done to you. Congratulations, boys. Well done on a great season.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming on. Any final things you'd like to add on the season or anything you'd like to say before you head off?
I thought it was obviously a good season overall. We're probably one of the younger teams in the competition.
Yeah, I don't doubt
which
it.
Which is, obviously, that's a positive. You know, lots of guys sort of 15, 16. And obviously now I've gotten grand final experience under their belt, which is only going to help them in the future. So,
yeah.
Like, especially with Chaps, like, he's come up clutch so many games for us this season. So, special mention to him.
Yeah, well done, Chaps.
And Joel as well, with the new ball, for a young kid to bear that responsibility is great. And he's done consistently well this season, and the numbers show it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. Well done on your season. We're going to take another short break here on the Mighty Oaks podcast. We're going to come back and announce the team of the year. So don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Anthony Howes, and you're listening to the Mighty Oaks podcast.
And we're back here on the Mighty Oaks podcast. We are drawing to a close. We're nearing the end of the podcast and the end of the season. I'm joined once again by a couple of Third 11 Premiership heroes, Anthony Howes and Ben Salmon. Welcome back, fellas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you guys are very special tonight because you are the first people who are going to find out the OCC Senior Team of the Year, which I am going to announce live here on the podcast.
Incredible.
Here is the document in front of me. Yep.
Did Armaguard bring that in?
They did, yeah.
Yep. Thought so.
Just got inside from dealing with those boys.
Yep.
The betting on this has been fierce.
Yeah, I thought so.
Are we starting from 12th to 1st? Or
no, so I'm going to do it in batting order.
Sounds good.
I'm going to tell you the team of the year. Now, just firstly, I'll let you know a little bit about it. So we picked a 12-man team, mm-hmm. as every team by the ones can play 12. This is going to be in batting order. Any player who played senior cricket, that's 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th or 5th, is eligible for this team. And the stats I'm going to read out are cumulative of the whole season. So if someone played multiple games in different 11s, the stats all add up.
Yep.
So without further ado, let's hear.
Here we go.
The OCC Senior Team of the Year. Opening the batting at position number one, a surprise to no one, Ryan Pearson.
Never in doubt.
Yep, pretty good selection.
Fair enough. The recent Sam Blackburn medalist of this season. Yep. All up stats, 406 runs at an average of 23.88, as well as 25 wickets at 18.
Yep.
That's a pretty handy...
Genuine all-rounder.
Opening decent batsman.
Do we have his catches on there? Because I'm sure he would have taken a fair few as well.
I don't have his catches, but I do have his high scores, 93 and 90.
Yep.
And his best bowling
nervous
was
90s.
4 for 12 off 9 overs in a one-day game. So well done, Ryan Pearson, number one
Congrats.
Opening batsman
well done.
Of the team of the year. Number two. Brother of a man sitting to my right, Robert Howes makes the team of the year after only playing after Christmas.
That's cracked. Parachuting in.
Right? I honestly don't think you can argue. He had a remarkable second half of the season, making 376 runs at an average of 62.17.
That's kind of
very consistent.
I'm pretty sure that's only a few runs short of what he made last season.
Last year. Well, imagine what he could have made if he played the whole year.
Half a year.
Fatherhood has treated him well and also not ever training.
Trained once.
Might be something
amazing.
In that.
Amazing.
Not training and performing.
Well, if anyone wants to play next year and not train, just rattle off these stats.
You could be seeing me in the threes if you want to do that.
Rob made 450s, a high score of 84, and then made a 66, a 65, and a 64. So
yeah,
the nervous 60s for old
and
Rob.
And 165 or something, retired, not out, which was...
retired, tied.
Yeah, retired tied.
Retired tied.
Yeah. Retired red.
And shout out to him, also top scored in the second 11 losing final. Well done, Rob.
Commiserations to that game.
Ryan Pearson.
Pretty good top two to have. Well deserved.
Our opening batsman.
Yep. Probably bat first if I was captain of that team.
Oh, huge. You haven't heard the bowlers yet. At number three, a new man to the club and a man who's fitted in really well and done exceptionally well, Carter Bilbra. Number three.
Yep, that is valid. Valid.
I think made the most runs,
the
most
club.
Senior club
yep.
runs at the club this year.
Yep.
That was across a number of teams. He switched between the threes and the twos and also played quite a few games on Sunday in the fifths.
Dominated in the fifths.
Dominated.
Made a total of 578 runs at an average of 32.1 and made 450s, had a high score of 69, also a 68, a 61 and a 52. And so those 450s, I'm pretty sure... One was in the twos, one was in the threes, and two were in the fifth. So all 11s, he scored runs. So awesome. Well done, Carter. The most runs, 578 runs. You're our number three batsman in Team of the Year.
Queenslander.
At number four, the number four bat and also the wicket keeper of this Team of the Year,
huge
Dimesh Patel.
That's crazy.
Four is crazy.
So played the year in the threes under you, and obviously he scored 413 runs at an average of 37.5. He made 450s with a high score of 87, don't tell Nordo, and 74 and 69. And as a keeper, took 16 catches and 2 stumpings for the
very
season.
Very good.
Pretty decent season.
We don't have his strike rate perhaps on that, do we?
I do not have his strike rate.
I think that's for the best.
Crazy stat for everyone. Those 400 runs came before finals.
Yep, crazy stat.
Could have been more.
Could have been more.
Could have been more. Nevertheless, another excellent season from you, Dimesh. Congratulations, number four in Team of the Year. Number five... an all-rounder position, the coach of the club, Matthew Grace. As a batsman, 226 runs at an average of 20.5 with a high score of 62. And with the ball, 28 wickets at an average of 13.29 with the best bowling figures of 7 for 35.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff.
Yep.
Pretty good season.
Yep. Pretty good. Bat and ball. Very handy at number 5. Well done, coach. Hold Matthew on. Grace at number 5. Batting at number 6, which is actually a little bit higher than he tended to bat in his actual 11, we've got Ryan Chappell, who played fours and often batted at 7 and 8 and just came in and took attacks apart.
Let the kids bat.
later in the innings. But well done to Chaps. 314 runs at an average of 44.86, with a high score of 58. He rounds out the top 6 in our team of the year.
Great top 6.
At number 7, this one could be quite controversial. We got an all-rounder here.
I'm keen.
His name is Anthony Howes. Congratulations, my friend. You made the team of the year.
Thank you.
Well done, Mogger.
As an all-rounder, so this includes your third 11 and some of your fives games, 325 runs at 27.08. Handy for a number 7, for sure. High scores of 74 and 51. And overall, 45 wickets at 8.67. Played a couple more games than most, but 45 wickets is certainly nothing to sneeze at. A couple of fifers, best bowling, 5 for 21 and 5 for 25. Ant, well done. How do you feel?
Yeah, pretty good. I felt like I was pretty unlucky not to make the team last year. So, goes to show hard work gets you there.
Hard work and playing a lot of games.
Playing a lot of games.
So, well done, Ant. Thank number you. 7 and in the true all-rounders position / keeper's position. At number 8, one of our young guns and also a bowling all-rounder, Joel Ajani.
Huge, huge news.
155 runs at 14. That's only in senior cricket. He also made hundreds of runs in junior cricket this year.
But I think he made over 1,000 runs this year. He made the board at Oakley.
He made other junior cricketers look silly this year, so it was good to watch.
Yeah.
Average about a 240, I think, in one of those grades.
Yeah, made a lot of runs. And hopefully as he grows and plays more senior cricket, we'll start to see those large runs come in the fours, threes, twos, and hopefully ones. But also as a bowler, took 17 wickets at an average of 14.
Pretty impressive.
Very handy. Well done, Joel, in the fourth 11. Also played one thirds game, I think.
Yeah. He did. I will say that's very impressive for a young fella to have an average like that. It's never easy to keep the runs down. So that's quite impressive.
Yeah. Congratulations, Joel. Number 8, team of the year. Number 9. This one I don't think anyone can argue with, and this would have been pretty early picked in most people's teams. Josh Peake.
The dominant.
Pick of the bowlers for the first 11 this year. 34 wickets at an average of 17.65. That also counts a couple of wickets in T20 and one game in the twos where I think he took 4 for.
What about the other game in the twos?
I don't actually know what you're talking about, so if you're going to look, you're probably going
to... We'll leave that one up to the crowd, but he pulled it back, so well done, Josh.
Well done, Josh. He also scored 94 runs at an average of 9.4 for your number 9, so
and he
well
can
done.
Hit a seriously long ball.
Yeah.
A big ball.
Handy lower order batter. Yeah. But well done, Peaky. First season at Oakley, came down, made his debut in round 1, and 34 wickets for the year and team of the year, so well done, Peaky.
Well done.
At number 10, can I get a drum roll, Ant, please, because this is a big one. This is a big one. This man has been called many things this year, mainly noodles.
Oh.
Ben Salmon, team of the year. Well done, congratulations, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
At your number 10, 25 wickets at an average of 16.29 with best bowling figures, a very handy 5 for 10 off 9 overs.
Yep. Is that in the twos? Yeah, it was in the twos.
That was in the twos. And for regular viewers and listeners of the Mighty Oaks podcast, we actually interviewed Ben after that fifer. Out on the ground, so you can go back and listen to that if you want to.
We'll put the link in the below this video.
Absolutely. Also, handy 145 runs at an average of 18.13 and a high score of 77.
Yep.
Which was pretty awesome.
Would you like to tell us about that 77?
I think you were just saying you enjoyed that more than the grand final one before.
I think so. I got presented my bandana that game, or my do-rag, and got to play with my captain here, and we put on a 96-run partnership that game, and unfortunately, he checked out before we could get to 100. But it was very enjoyable getting to spend some time in the middle, and I think it really settled me down before finals. So it was good to know if it was needed in finals, I was ready. So
having done both, what would you prefer, taking a fifer or making 77?
Taking a fifer, yeah.
Okay,
taking a fifer.
Fair enough. Good answer. Well, congratulations, Ben Salmon, number 10 in the team of the year. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
At number 11, one of your good mates, Ben, the angry man himself, Tom Eisen. 27 wickets.
Guido!
27 wickets at 17.59. Best bowling of 5 for 28.
Jeez.
And 35 runs at 7. But at number 11, fair to say he's in for his bowling. This guy had a great season, Tom. Played the entire year in the twos after playing in the threes and winning best on in the grand final last year. Was ever reliable, sort of came on first or second change all year. Remarkable consistency with his line and length. And
also got a few games in the ones, I'm pretty sure.
Very true. Also made his first 11 debut. So a massive year for you, Tom. Well done, ISO.
Awesome.
And congrats
effort.
On being the team of the year.
Yeah, just his season, incredible stuff. He just he lives and dies by the sword. He doesn't stray away from what he knows, and he does it pretty well. So he backs himself in every time he goes out there. And although he's batting one at side, I will look out in the future because he can bat. He doesn't like to tell himself, but he can. So just look out for that.
Right. So look at you two, 10, 11. Could be dangerous with the bat.
Yep.
Yeah, I just want to say about ISO, having not really played with him much before this season and definitely not kept to him much before this season, what impressed me the most, we all know emotions come out, he wears his heart on his sleeve, and he can blow up and he can get angry, but I'm super impressed that even when he does blow up and get angry, the next ball is just back on that same spot. It seems to not affect his bowling. So well done, Tom.
Well done.
And as we mentioned, this is a 12-man team of the year, and the 12th man of the year, in a very appropriate position, Matthew Tyson.
Valid.
Genuine number 12.
Genuine number 12. Reflected in his 4 runs for the year and an average of 2. Not bad.
Yeah, J-Row's probably going to put that one on the Instagram. So,
But yeah, obviously he's in it for his bowling. 24 wickets at 14.63. And only a best bowling of 3 for 24.
Just consistent.
So it just shows he doesn't take big bags. He's just consistent, on the spot, every week, reliable. And especially in the short form one-day cricket, which we play a lot of, you can just bank on his 9 overs being...
He's always going to get the breakthrough. Whenever he comes on, he gets the breakthrough. So he's a great asset to have.
Yeah. So well done. That's the team of the year. I'll run through them again. Opening the batting, Ryan Pearson and Robert Howes. 3, Carter Bilbrough. 4, Dimesh Patel, who's the wicketkeeper. 5, Matthew Grace. 6, Ryan Chappell. 7, Anthony Howes. 8, Joel Ajani. 9, Josh Peake. 10, Ben Salmon. 11, Tom Eisen. And 12, Matt Tyson. So congratulations to you all.
Well done.
Now, officially, we don't name a captain for this team. But looking at the team, I'll put the team sheet in front of you there, boys. I think there's a couple of good candidates for captain in there. We have the first 11 captain in the team, so he'd be an option. But I actually think Anthony Howes, captain of the thirds and a premiership captain, pretty valid claim to be captain of the team of the year.
Well, I'd like to just go through a couple. Like you look at Ryan, he's the first 11 captain. You've got Matthew Grace, the coach of the club. And Robert Howes, a former captain of the twos for a while. So, but it really comes down to at number 7 spot, Anthony Howes, who captained the only premiership winning team this year. So I think that's an absolute lock.
Yeah.
So
I tend to agree. But we'll throw it out to you. If you're watching, listening, who do you think should be captain and who do you think is stiff? Yep.
I think we're going to put up a poll. So make sure you answer that poll.
Yeah, if I was to obviously be named captain of this team, I'd take it, you know, a lot of pride in that. I think it's a really, really good team. There's a lot of deserving players. But, you know, I think if that title was given to me, that it'd, you know, be very, very, you know, proud moment for me. So,
yeah.
Up to you guys. Don't sway your votes. But, yeah, I'd be honoured if I was named captain of this team.
Well, well done. Is there anyone that jumps out at you guys as being unlucky to make it?
I think one that jumps out to me is probably Raf Parton
in
the fours. Another young up-and-coming player.
Yep, we had his stats up before.
Pretty consistent. A couple of 50s.
253 runs at 23.
Yeah, he, you know, came to the club, first senior experience, I think, this year, and I think he's developed into a really decent player. I think pretty stiff not to play in the thirds this year, just based on, you know, the teams that we had. We were pretty strong through the 11s, so, you know, did spend his whole season in the fours, but I think he's one of those guys that could easily take a position up in the threes next year, starting there, and, you know, doesn't really have a ceiling at the moment. So
absolutely.
No, definitely.
And showed a lot of improvement just 100%. Within this season. So
100%. Development, bit of character. I think early on was struggling to score runs, and I think a couple of chats with some senior players, about being more proactive and, you know, a bit more aggressive at the crease, and that's helped him in the long run. So as long as he continues to develop, I don't see why he can't go high in this, you know, higher in the teams, play twos, nice. Ones down the future. So
100%.
He's one I'll be looking forward to seeing how he develops.
Good shout.
For sure.
Anyone for you, Salmon, you want to mention? I've got one, if you haven't got one on the top of your head.
I think you should say yours, yeah.
I think Nathan Harford is probably the stiffest batsman. He played first 11, made 100, was obviously assistant coach of the club, but his stats speak for themselves. Over 300 runs, an average of above 30. I think he's probably the stiffest. So a little shout out to you, Harf. Great season. Well done.
Yeah.
I do notice that we don't have a genuine... Oh, actually, we do. Sorry, Ryan. I was going to say, we don't have a genuine spinner.
Yeah, Ryan Pearson's the spinner.
You know, if you're opening the batting and you're the best spinner as well. So
that's a fair effort.
He's taken over 20 wickets as a spinner.
Pretty good.
I'd say I'd go with Harford as well.
100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was the team of the year. Hope you enjoyed listening to that. Shout out to all those guys. And we're coming to the end of the podcast now, boys, but there is one more thing I wanted to mention. We flagged it before, but it's the end of the season, and at the end of every season we traditionally have our presentation night where we look at presenting some more awards. This year we're going a little bit different. We're having the end of season celebration. It's going to be at Wines on Poth, which is a favourite venue of ours at the Mighty Oaks podcast. Saturday, April 13th, starting at 7 p.m. If you still want to come, get in touch with Oaks co-host Jimmy Benn. $55 per person or $100 per couple, which includes food and gets you a $20 drink card. And there'll be $10 drink specials. Anything you guys want to add about that night that we're looking forward to coming up soon?
Nah, I think it'll be a great night for the club. And I think it's good we're experimenting with something new and seeing if that'll
be a little bit less formal.
Bit less formal, which some people don't enjoy. I know a few do enjoy it because they get to dress up and be in a suit and that. But nah, I think this would be good. Good to change it up and have another celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see as many players getting down as possible. I think, you know,
there is a
70 or 80 players played this season, like across all the grades. So if we get a nice high number, you know, obviously turnaround for the club is huge. Second voice cracker. There's another one. That's crazy.
But I won't edit it out either.
Just having everyone there to celebrate will be huge. Unfortunately, didn't win more premierships this year.
We got two. We got the third 11 and then we got the
thirds and the vets. Yeah. So, you know, in past seasons, we've had multiple premiership teams and I think it's shown on celebration nights. You see a lot more people here, the more flags you win, obviously. So it'd be nice to see everyone down there to celebrate the year that was and, you know, launch into next season on the back of it.
Beautiful. Well, we're looking forward to that. April 13th. Get down if you haven't let Jimmy Benn know already, and I'll see you boys there. But that brings us to an end. That will be the end of the Mighty Oaks podcast for the season. Thank you so much for watching and listening on Spotify, on YouTube, Apple Podcasts. Thank you to everyone who throughout the season has come up and told me they listened or said they liked it or given me feedback. It's been fantastic. Big thank you to my podcast team, Trent Shields, Matt Girolami, Jimmy Benn, Jeff Latham. They all put in a lot of hours, either co-hosting the show or doing some social media work for it or coming up with segments, all that kind of thing. So thank you to you four very, very much. Thank you to the club, Peter Webb, the president. Thanks for letting us in here using the rooms to make up this podcast. Thank you to you two boys for joining me. Congratulations for having me. For winning the flag, I hope the celebrations continue for many, many more weeks until we roll around next season or perhaps for the winter season.
No, we won't be having any premiership hangover like the Pies at the moment, though. So
That's excellent to hear.
Glad you mentioned the winter season. So if you want some cricket content over the off season while, you know, Oaks podcast takes a break, there'll be Oak vlogs for the winter games. I know Ray Teeve is going to be heavily invested into creating some content throughout the season.
Yeah, so we'll put the details on the screen here, but what are the details? What are the ats?
So on YouTube, Oak Vlogs. On TikTok, Oak Vlogs. And on Instagram, Oak Vlogs, all with a Z.
Beautiful. We'll get around Oak Vlogs in the off season and the winter team. I do want to thank again Ray White for sponsoring the podcast for the season. Thank you, Ray White Oakley. And thank you for your years of supporting the club and sponsorship in general. And finally, a massive shout out to a mate of mine, Trey Robin. When you listen to the start and the end of the podcast, you'll hear the little musical opener we've got, which is underlaid across the boys singing the Mighty Oaks theme song. But he composed that for us. He made it. So thank you, Trey.
Completely original, which is incredible.
All original music, purely for the Mighty Oaks. Very talented actor, musician, Trey Robin. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thank you, Trey.
Thank you, boys. Thank you, Oakley.
Thanks for having us.
Well done on a great season.
Thank you.
And all the best for the future. Go Oaks.
Go Oaks. Let's go back to back.
Woo!
Back to back to back.